Hey, my name is Ashka Patel, and you are listening to a podcast called Sustainability. This podcast series is made as part of my MA thesis project to test the sustainable journalism guide proposed as part of the project. Today, we will be exploring the world of alternative agriculture and how it impacts not only the environment, but also the society. We are at Cult of Action Senneville Farms, located on the scenic road surrounded by biodiversity, connecting the West Island Montreal to St. Anne Bellevue. Today, we will be talking to two working members of Cult of Action project, Eric Chevrier and Mohamed Ildwas. Along with working on the Cult of Action project, they are also professors at Concordia University. Thank you for interviewing with me today. I know you are very busy people, and I will go straight to the questions. The first question is, what is regenerative farming?
So regenerative farming is basically farming with less of an environmental impact. In Cult of Action specifically, we're looking at principles of agroecology, which some are ecological principles, but others are also social principles. It's about actually having a positive impact on the environment and on the social atmosphere of the ecosystems that we work in.
You were listening to Eric Chevrier. He has taught food and culture and food and sustainability at Concordia University. Alongside being involved with multiple food security organizations on campus, we talked about what is regenerative farming. But there is no one-size-fits-all regenerative farming. Regenerative farming is what best suits for your land. Your farming technique will depend upon your vision of what kind of story you want to tell as a farmer or a gardener. Harm reduction and sustainable practices are at the heart of regenerative farming through all of its systems. Next, you will hear Mohamed Ildwas. He has taught sustainable forest management, population ecology, and natural environment at Concordia University. Alongside co-founding Cult of Action, he is also involved with other farming and gardening projects throughout St. Anne Bellevue. Let's understand what are the ecological benefits of regenerative farming.
We are increasing the niches in the farm vertically and horizontally. So we are taking care of nature, as you see. I mean that there is increasing of wildlife and nature around us, and it becomes like a hub also for multiple pollinators, even mammals around us. We are caring also of the winter food web. So we leave a lot of vegetables and remnant of our crops that is very good base for the winter food web for the wildlife.
As an expert in the field, what advice would you like to give to people who want to start regenerative gardening or farming?
For the beginner in agroecology, they need to start small and then get big. And the best thing is to work in a group, either in community or in collective farming. This is the best thing to do.
Eric, would you like to add something?
So, you know, to experiment with different companion plants and to experiment with like multiple kind of sources of planting styles. Another thing that I learned, particularly going from more gardening to farming, was instead of taking care of my plants, I'm trying to take better care of the soil. So, you know, instead of feeding your plants with like salt-soluble fertilizers, it's actually to care for your soil properly, make sure there's a lot of like bioaccumulation of like biomatter.
You might be wondering why regenerative farming is important. Statistically, in Canada, conventional farming contributes to 10% of greenhouse gas emissions. Excluding emissions caused by fossil fuel used during the farming process, and also excluding the emissions caused while producing the fertilizer. If you add those things up, the number would be higher. Subsequently, the conventional farms also depend on immigration labor, who are not always treated well. And the cherry on the cake is, due to use of extensive fertilizer, pesticides, and monocropping, the land we have currently is left in poor health, which might in future lead to barren lands. Eric and Mohammed, are there any solutions for this? Can we improve our soil health by being mindful about what we are growing in our gardens and farms?
For better soil health, legumes are very important because they're nitrogen fixing plants. Other plants that are good are plants with large taproots that actually bring nutrients to the surface, and then you could use them as mulching. Things that produce biomass are really great also because you could compost that and basically bring it back to the soil, so you could keep on building soil.
Mohammed, would you like to add something?
Doing more focus with the local plants, which is part of the First Nation diet, for example, or the Canadian heritage and the holariums. One of the most important thing is the kind of potato that you will add to your field, because they need less management, sweet potatoes or normal potatoes or even Jerusalem artichoke, and they are improving the characteristics of the soil with time, because they grow under the ground and they are increasing in size. So I feel that the soil that they are growing in, it becomes more suitable, more loam, and more suitable for other crops.
Exploitative and extractive practices are not the only issue in our food systems. Food accessibility and availability are one of the major problems our society is facing today. Food insecurity has risen exponentially since the pandemic. Climate crisis and geopolitical conflict have further contributed to the inflation of our grocery bills. In times like this, food sovereignty has become important. Would it be possible to explain our listeners what is food sovereignty?
I think Eric should start this because his PhD dealing with food sovereignty, actually.
Sure. Yeah, so actually I wrote my PhD about building food sovereign campuses and communities. The way that I define food sovereignty is through kind of three perspectives. One is that food sovereignty is a process of improving your food conditions and localizing food. Besides the process, it's also talking about outcomes. So the outcomes are usually like rights and different things that people would gain through the process. But it's also been defined as a framework. So people like comparative frameworks to see like what's the difference between the corporate systems and food sovereignty systems. Really, if we look at the basics of food sovereignty, it's the rights of people to obtain culturally appropriate, nutritious food that's localized to them and have conditions of decision making within that.
How can common people like us participate in ensuring accessibility and flourishing of these healthy food systems?
So where you live in your municipality, you should know your partner that they are administrating the municipality, and you should encourage them and get them understand what the meaning of food sovereignty and food security, because they are the decision maker. They are the people that they have influence to give more land to the society for building a food ecosystem, healthy food ecosystem.
The social impact of Cult of Action is impressive. It has positively impacted thousands of people across the city. This being said, sadly, our society still measures success not with happiness or the impact on people it has, but with monetary value. The economic side of sustainability is often deemed as the most valuable. And a lot of decisions on moving towards sustainable practices are always weighed against the economic benefits of the transformation. In the race of providing cheap food, conventional farmers have completely overlooked the ecological and social impact of their ways. But are these systems economically viable? As per Statistics Canada, as of December 2024, the farmers of Canada have $166.7 billion in outstanding debt. And the number seems to get worse and worse every year. Would you like to explain to the listeners, how is this possible?
A lot of farms, despite their increased production, are still not making it financially. A lot of farms are basically, they have to buy seeds from the seed producers, and they buy the chemicals from the chemical producers, they buy the tractors, and every year they increase their debt. So this is across the world, farmers are in debt. The other thing too is, to be viable financially, they actually need government subsidies. So the government subsidizes food in the larger picture.
Oh, interesting. If these big farms are losing money, then the question is, are small farms like Cult of Action, which are built on the principles of agroecology, financially sustainable?
At the beginning, when we first started, we had contradictions on, do we have cheap food or do we not pay our laborers very well? We were working almost for free at the beginning. And, we haven't moved too far from that. So there are negative impacts in the way that we would like bigger budgets and we would like more financial security. But also, we are recognizing that we want to reach the community and make this a community project. So I don't think we're ever going to figure this out perfectly, but it's going to be always like different contradictions that we're trying to negotiate.
What can be done to make an ecologically and socially flourishing system like Cult of Action more economically sustainable?
Diversification of our source of income. For example, we add the chicken this year with the hope that they will add something, to our income and can cover some of the overhead cost. I think with targeting certain crops that is of good price in the market and increasing them, small farms can be in more viable situation, adding more educational programs, more agro-tourism program, things like that will create a good atmosphere and will give more value for the small farms.
Thank you for interviewing with me today. I hope after listening to this podcast, you feel more equipped to move towards alternate farming or gardening. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Feel free to share your feedbacks or comments on the story. That's all for today. You were listening to me, Ashka Patel, Eric Chevrier, and Mohammed Ilduas.